McDonald's Viking Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Trail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another episode of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. The podcast presented by McDonald's, McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, MacArthur, and Oak Hill. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Taping this broadcast extravaganza on Tuesday, February the 27th, 2018. Yes, coach, we are dysfunctionally tardy, as I would put it. We're a day late. How you doing?
Not a dollar short, though, right?
I don't know. You see the stock market today? Brutal.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather outside.
It is nice.
We should be outside.
A guy could even hit a golf ball on this day, I'd say.
Yeah? I wouldn't want to hit it out of this mud.
Nah, it'll be
filth.
A little wet. Yeah.
I do have a driving range, Matt. We go up at the pool house and shoot some balls. I know you got all the time.
It's been
world.
A while, man. It's been a while for me.
Yeah. That first of the season when you look down at a golf ball and it just feels weird.
Yes.
Well, now that we've covered that.
Yeah.
Appreciate all three of our listeners that were once five, just, you know, still hanging around. No, nice weather outside. Congratulations in order. You're making it to the convo again.
Yeah.
It's gotta have a good feeling.
It is. I'm happy for these guys. We've had to overcome some things this year, and I think this group so far has done that. You know, winning the league, as we talked about last week, and then you're beating a very good Athens team, a team that had been playing really well, and getting back to the convo. It's always fun. You know, I think your goal is to play basketball in March. You know, that's the first step, and we're going to be doing that, and hopefully beyond. But you got to get there first. That was our first step. Now we're preparing for Fairland, trying to get that done.
Well, we'll talk about Fairland here at length in a short period of time. No guests today. This is a mini podcast. It's what we do in the postseason.
Yeah.
Because, you know, McDonald's just doesn't cough up quite enough money, you know, for our production schedule. But
Yes. But
at any rate, you know, with Athens, and you made mention of it last episode, when you play a team multiple times in the regular season and then you got to end up facing them in the postseason, it just kind of makes for kind of a nerve-wracking week preparing, doesn't
right.
it? And I mean, because you know what they're going to do. They know what you're going to do. There's only so much probably as a coach you can say and drill and all this. And, I mean, it I don't know. And plus, you know, add to it that I don't think it's a nasty rivalry, but it's a respectful rivalry
right.
between, you know, two schools that probably for the most part over the past, 8-10 years –
yeah,
have both been at the top of the conference predominantly. So
yeah, I mean, other than, you know, I think it goes all the way back to, if I'm not mistaken, it goes all the way back to 2006.
Is that when Jeff
Skinner? Alexander won it in 06, and then since then it's either been you know, Vinton County or Athens at the top of that. And it's a rivalry, like you say. And the thing of it is, I think playing a team a third time makes it tough in a few different ways, what you just mentioned. And I think the familiarity, you know, makes it tough to really do anything creative. You know, it's and I think you saw that in that game the other night. At times it was a little bit of a struggle for either team because you're so familiar with that team, you sort of know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It usually helps defense win out a little bit, probably over offense in those situations, and that probably happened from time to time the other night. But it was, I was really pleased with our first three quarters, really, of how we played. Won each quarter, and but then the fourth quarter came around and we started off with a couple turnovers and that sort of, you know, in tournament basketball, if you go watch any tournament game, pay attention to the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
and pay attention to, because the thing of it is, in tournament basketball, pay attention to easy baskets, and if you turn the ball over, it usually leads to easy
yes.
baskets and
points
transition baskets, right.
right?
And we gave Athens those opportunities the other night in the fourth quarter, and that allowed them to cut our 8-point lead down kind of quick and really gave them a chance to win the game. So it was kind of a crazy finish. I thought overtime, our kids came out. Obviously, Jake hit a big shot early. Then we got a rebound, I think, or a steal, and went out in transition like we talked about, a turnover leading to an easy one. And scoring those first 5 or 7 points, whatever we scored of overtime, obviously was the difference.
Well, and back to what you were saying about the fourth quarter, they had fouls to give, and they started giving, you know, fouling you guys what I thought to be pretty early.
Right.
And in addition to those turnovers that we had, and you know, some of them were just good defense on their part, but there were some, for lack of a better term, brain dead turnovers that we had that they scored off of. And they, Coach Cozart kind of did what he had to do. Is you had like a 6-7 point lead at one point in time. I don't know. It was, you know, significant at the end of the third quarter. They started, you know, once you guys got to the line, I thought if we convert here, KD bar the door, it's done.
Yeah, we had some chances at the line, no doubt about it. I said, it's funny, we were talking, the coaches were standing there talking by the bench, like during the warm-ups of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have a little note card and have different things on there. And one of the things I always have is the other team's free throw percentages in case we have to foul late, you know, for each kid. And when I looked at that, you know, they had a lot of kids in that 50% to, you know, 50 to 60% range.
Right.
And, you know, I thought, well, when you have kids like that, and we've got some of those kids too, and obviously those are coin flips, whether those are going in, if you're shooting, you know, 55%. Yeah. And I said, you know, free throws could be big in this game because neither team has proven over time the ability just to consistently do that. And I thought it hurt both teams. Obviously it hurt us with an opportunity to win the game or to put the game away, like you said, and then ultimately it hurt them right at the end. And you know, so those free throws, you know, what's the old saying? Free throws and layups. You know, it sounds elementary, but those I think those were big.
Yeah, free throw wise, this year's team has not been consistent. I guess is the you know we there's been games that they've shot, you know, 75-80% as a team, which you love to see that.
Right.
But then there's been other games that we go to the line, you know, 25 times and can't make half of them. One big point as far as the first quarter, what production for the whole game, but predominantly in that first quarter, you got out of Cameron Hammond. I mean, he just played a phenomenal game, you know, and give credit to the guards as far as Nevin Nalen and Jake for giving him some good looks. But I think he had a season high, 17 points?
Yeah.
And the majority of those came in the first quarter and the half. So, you know, you got to be happy with the production of Cameron. He's really kind of came along positively from where I at least kind of saw him at the beginning of the year to where he is now.
Well, there's no question. I've said all along, he's probably a kid that's been our biggest surprise. And it's funny, you know, people have different philosophies on this stuff, but one of the criticisms you'll hear sometimes is from people, and this usually comes from schools that don't have enough kids to field freshmen and JV teams the way they want to, but the criticisms are, why would you ever play junior on JV? Well, Cameron's a perfect example of why you play junior on JV.
Right.
If you have people that, like, if you have a deep varsity team like we did last year and you've got kids that might otherwise probably at a lot of schools be playing varsity and you have hopes that they can help you the following year, then you play JV, you know, and you know, some people think you're doing it just to win JV games. You're doing it for your program. Over the years, we've had guys. I mean, I could go way back and talk about guys like Jason Wiseman and Bobby Walton, some of the guys that won a league championship as a senior that played JV as a junior. But you look at how far Cameron's come from last year to this year, what a big shot in the arm he's been for us. I don't know, you know, if we'd be where we're at without him, truthfully. I mean, he's been especially considering we played 7 games without Eli Griffith. And, you know, that's kind of when he got in there and started playing more, and he's made the most of it. But it's nice to see a senior. It's nice to see it paying off for a senior who's put the time and effort in.
Other individual stats for Vinton County, Nalen Yates leads individual scoring with 24 points. Jake Speakman has 22. We mentioned Cameron with 17. Eli Griffith has 2 points, and Nevin Yates has 4 for the Vikings. As far as team statistics, Vinton County shoots 41% from the field to Athens, 38%. As far as beyond the arc, you guys were 29%. 5 of 17 for their 3 of 17 at 17%. As far as the free throw percentage, you guys were 18 of 31 for 58%. They were 9 of 20. As far as transition points, you guys had 11 to their 2. Points off turnovers, you had 17 to their 8. Points in the paint, both team had 34 points. Rebounding, you had a total of 28 rebounds to their 30 rebounds. So a good win. And I do have a query for you, Coach.
Okay, okay.
I mean,
yes.
The main thing that I saw, you know, in the game, and then, of course, you know, I read about it on Preps.
Well, then
it's
you
true.
Already know. Yeah.
No, I don't know the truth, thus the query. The coaching decision at the break before overtime, you came out and you throw a little 1-3-1 zone.
Yeah.
Now, I know you like to take, being the selfish head coach you are, I know you like to say, you know, I'm the defensive specialist here. But I need to know, truly, who made the decision? Which of your fine assistant coaches?
Well, now,
was it the intellect? Chad Carpenter. Was it the lover boy in NJ Kyle?
I'll say this. I've never quite heard NJ described as that. That's good.
Have you seen his new girlfriend?
Yeah,
Yes,
but let's not jump the gun on going as far to call him that. I still call him choir boy, like it.
His ego has always been so low. He needs self-esteem boost up. Anyway,
man, now I'm all
back
drawn
to,
up.
Back to my CIF.
Yeah, so Carp is usually a guy who's watching the defensive side. We talk a lot about it, you know, and he's good because our philosophies tend to be a little bit different, and it kind of keeps me in check. That was a situation, though, honestly, that sort of happened just by circumstance, because Bryce had to go in, start that, because we wanted to win the jump ball. You know, you have to jump it.
You also had Cameron and Eli were both in foul trouble.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I think all three of them at one point had four, but we figured Bryce is the only guy all year that's jumped center for us, really. I mean, most of the time. So let's have him jump. And then we thought, well, what are we going to do defensively? You know, with Bryce in, we've been doing this all night, and this sort of worked, and this didn't. And we just thought, well, we haven't played zone. So it's kind of like, well, since Bryce is in, let's go ahead and show zone a couple trips. Now, Carp was the one who made the suggestion of trapping the corners out of it. We'll trap the corner out of zone, sometimes we won't. And he said, you know, let's do that. And that worked, because if you remember, the one of the kids for them threw it away, and Jake took it and went down and scored.
Right.
Yeah, so, no, it was kind of one of those deals. It's funny how basketball works sometimes. You make one decision, and it leads to the other, and then the other works out, or sometimes it doesn't work out. But it did there. We hadn't played. I didn't really want to play a lot of zone against Athens, because I was worried about the Butcher kid shooting a three, the Chubb kid shooting a three, some of the guys they had. But I think where we hadn't shown it the whole game, who knows? Maybe. So it worked out.
So back to my query. To finalize, your final answer would be, Carp made the initial decision because of Bryce, and then luck.
Yeah.
It was three,
basically.
Three-part.
Basically, that's what it is.
And NJ still runs the offense.
Yeah.
And I know Coach Albright, who's an unsung hero, does a lot of work background offensively.
He does. Actually, he really does. Yes, he does.
Which would lead me to my next question. What do you do?
I have no responsibilities here whatsoever. That's kind of our motto. We put it on a T-shirt, in fact. But I
think that would be a good theme for you know, I'm so sick of this "In Combs We Trust" stuff.
No, I don't like that either.
Give Spring Street some ideas.
Yeah, I think that's what it would be. Combs has no responsibility whatsoever.
Well, you walk up and down the sidelines, and you throw your hands on top of your head, and you squint like you're dazed and confused, and you wind to rest.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, got to put on a show. So,
man, you get paid big bucks for that.
That's what I do, man. What I do.
Okay, now we got that taken care of.
Yeah.
So now all the fans on Preps that wondered, you know, about that 1-3-1.
Uh-huh.
Coach Combs had nothing to do with it.
That's it.
Carp, Bryce, Luck.
Yes.
Next game. We're going to need some, you know, state-ranked Proctorville Fairland. They're kind of good.
Yes, they are.
They don't suck.
No, they don't.
They're
no, they don't.
19-3 record, I think that's still correct. And I think all three of their losses came in out-of-state holiday tournaments. I know that they played in a tournament. I don't know where it was. It was a high-end. I think it might have been Tennessee. I don't know. But they returned last year, for anyone who doesn't know. Last year, they were a D3 team that made it to the Final Four. They lost in, the state semifinals?
Yes.
In Columbus.
Yeah.
And then they went to D2 this year. That's, you know, and a lot of the D3 coaches, Norm Pearson, you know, Ryan Davis, all those guys are just heartbroken that Fairland is no longer a D3 team. But nonetheless, that becomes your problem. The other part of that problem is they graduated no one from last year's team.
Right.
They start all five seniors.
Yes.
They've been together for 4 years.
Yep.
Looking at them on tape, seen three games, and it's not just five players. They'll go a little. I mean, they got some depth on their bench. Some kind of like Vinton County, some role players that come off the bench.
Right.
But man, they're good. They're quick. They're big. You name. Throw your adjet about there. Just give me your thoughts of, you know, what they are, and we'll get into how we're going to try to deal with this.
Well, I think it starts with their post player, Van Horn. Obviously, he's a difference maker at his size.
What is he, 6'9", 6'8"?
6'8"-ish, yeah.
I mean, he's a stud.
Yeah, does a great job of blocking shots without fouling. That's the one thing I've noticed. He really is a defensive changer in the paint. And offensively, he's capable of stepping out and shooting, driving it to the basket. He's pretty versatile for his size.
He can run the court very well.
Yeah, he is. He's a good player. I mean, actually, when they were playing in the state semifinals last year, him getting in foul trouble changed that game completely, because early in that game, you know, Fairland was, you know, right there, and then he gets in some foul trouble and things changed for them quickly at that level.
Right.
But he does a pretty good job of not fouling typically, and is definitely a really good player. And then they have two really good shooters.
Thomas and Howe.
The Thomas kid is as good a shooter as you'll see, period. I mean, he can absolutely shoot it. Left-handed kid.
It's a rainbow, too.
Yeah, I mean, just pure. I mean, really pure shooter. And the Thomas kid shoots it pretty well, too.
Thomas kid's pretty tough off the dribble.
I mean, pretty good athlete. He's been, again, these kids have played varsity now for a while. And then they have a couple really nice athletes to round out their starting lineup. Kids that'll just really guard you. Kids that can go off the dribble. Fast, just athletic kids. And like you said, then they've got some kids they can bring in and play roles off the bench. But, you know, they hang their hat on those five starters mainly. You know, those are the guys that kind of carry the load for them. And but they do, you know, they do have capable guys off the bench. But yeah, it'll be a challenge. I think what makes them good is experience. And then, you know, obviously they have talent, but they also have the experience to go with it. And
playing in big game situations.
Yeah, I mean, they're used to the tournament. They've played together a long time, and you know, so that those are some of the things that make them effective.
Well, it should be a good game. Pre-sale tickets available at the Vinton County High School. If you buy them in advance, one, you won't have to wait in line at the convo, and two, part of the money goes to the Vinton County Local School District. You can pick those up at Carol's office there at the high school. The game kicks off 6:15 Thursday night, March 1st. We're the first of two games. The second game is that the Warren Local Unioto game?
No.
That's Friday.
I didn't even look. I think it's Fairfield Union Gallia Academy. Is that right? Or?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, they got the Fairfield Union Gallia Academy. He's got the 8 o'clock game. And then coming up, you know, for you gym rats that really like to watch a lot of basketball, Friday night, March the 2nd, a couple dandies at the combo. These are all D2 as well as number one ranked seated Sheridan plays Waverly in the 6:15 game, and then the 8 o'clock game, which ought to be a dandy. Unioto plays, they're a two seed, they play Warren Local in the 8 o'clock game. So, you know, I know that you attending those games usually contingent on the outcome of yours.
Well, you know, it depends. I like watching basketball. For me, it's, I went over and watched Unioto Miami Trace the other day just for the heck of it. I mean, obviously, we're not playing either one of those teams until we'd have to make the regional or whatever, so it's down the road. But what I just, you know, I like watching it. For me, it's tough sometimes, the trip to Athens. It's pretty long haul for me just to go watch games. But I do enjoy going over there and watching games. I tell you what, I've said this all along, and I've never been – slow to question the Southeast District Board on some issues when it comes to tournaments.
No, not at all.
One of them being the seeding process, and I stand behind that. There's still a lot of things we have to do better. But one thing we get right and they get right is this convo. There's just no better venue than that. You know, I was talking to Logan's coach the other day, Coach Ryder, and of course they won their first game and they get to host another game.
Because they're playing Olentangy.
Yeah, the Central District hosts, you know, the sectional games if you're the higher seed.
It's a super sectional, isn't it?
Right. Now, but some super sectionals don't do that, don't host, but the Central does. And that's a whole different argument whether you like that or not. But my point is, I said, if you win, where will you play the district game at? And they don't know yet. What they do is they wait, and they almost do it like football. They sort of find out who's playing who and kind of find a middle, you know, travel-wise, okay? But my point is, there's no place like the Convo for them to play. You know, I mean, they're going to play in a district tournament at a high school gym.
Right.
I'm sure a nice one, but not the Convo, you know? And that's the thing that I hope people in the Southeast District understand. All of our teams, D2, 3, and 4, get this opportunity if you get to the district level to play. And it's special because I'm telling you, I've been doing this now. If you go all the way back to when I was a player back in the early 90s, you know, you're talking nearly 27, 28 years of going to the Convo as a player and a coach, and it's a different feeling. It's almost just like, it's like that bowl season in football. You know what I mean? It's just exciting.
It's like a party.
I mean, it is.
Like a celebratory, you know.
Well, it really is because you get coach. I mean, think about it. How many times do you go to a game at the Convo and you'll look up and you'll just see like a group of coaches sitting there watching games, and you'll see a group of the common fan, you know, just guys that, like you call them, gym rats that like to watch. Yeah. It's kind of like a get together, you know, from Southeast Ohio.
Yeah, and there's so many dynamics because you have all these schools that are playing, like you
right,
and you have the faction of, you know, fanatical fans and hometown people supporting their school. And then you'll look up and you'll see, oh, there's a bunch of refs up there that are just there.
Yeah, just hanging out.
And then you'll see a bunch of coaches and you'll see P. Floyd and a bunch of the preps people that, you know, kind of know each other. And they're not there, like you said, there's a lot of people that go there that aren't there to necessarily support one team or the other.
Right.
They're just like, man, there's some quality.
And it's comfortable because there's plenty of seating, you know. So if you're there if you don't want to get down close to the court, you're just there to kind of hang out, you set up high. It's obviously, Athens is a great town where there's places to eat, there's walking distance. I mean, it's a really cool venue. I mean, I don't think people realize, unless you pay attention to other districts, how cool our venue is for the district tournament. It's really neat.
Well, was it last year or the year before? I don't know if you and NJ were scouting John Glenn, or it was a game in Coshocton, because I called you and you were at this game.
Yes. It was last year. We were watching. Well, John Glenn was playing Meadowbrook.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Because we
ended up being Meadowbrook when we played.
But. And you were like, I'm leaning against the door, stacked.
It was a high school that would remind you of like Chillicothe High School. Nice place, nothing, you know, nice gym. But imagine having a district championship game in that gym. I mean,
exactly.
You know, and it was that was kind of the way it was. There was no seats, and I hope people enjoy it. I hope Vinton County people enjoy it, and you know, get out there and support our guys.
Well, if you would like a complete breakdown, go to Southeastern Ohio Athletic District, and they have the brackets there. Because coming up, you know, obviously D2 comes Thursday, March the 1st, and Friday, March the 2nd. And then I know all day, I think starting at 2 or 3 in the afternoon on Saturday, you got, what, 4 D3 games that Saturday? And I think there's D4 starts on Sunday. So
yeah,
even if you're not a Vinton County fan, or if you are, you know, $5 gets you in the door, I think. Is it $5?
Six, but all day long. Yeah. Like, you get, I mean, they don't quality clear the gym. You get four games on one of those. Maybe, is it the D3 you said it's all day? Or I can't remember how they do that anymore.
No, hang on, I got it right here.
But,
D3, oh, geez. Yeah, 3 o'clock Saturday is Piketon versus Alexander. The 4:45 game is Wheelersburg versus Lynchburg Clay. Oak Hill plays at 6:30 against Paint Valley, and then the nightcap at 8:15 will be Southeastern playing Eastern Pike.
How about that? So $6, you go sit down and hunker down for about 5 hours.
Yeah, and if you're like the big boy across the console here, you know, you might have to check out and go up to B-dubs and,
well,
you know.
It just depends. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
A couple dozen wings and all that. Do you have some business once the season's over? And we'll be back next week if you win. If you don't, we won't. But Bryce Dameron, him and the guys were talking about how he could just out-eat you He could eat, his exact words, I could eat a regular meal, and then you tell me whatever I got to do to eat, out-eat him, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know
you're starting to get a little soft.
I'm not going to go as far as just to guarantee victory like Joe Namath style, but I think he's underestimating me. I think it's, you know.
I've never seen him eat. I've heard stories, but of course, I've seen you.
But the bad part about it is he's young, so like, you know, the wear and tear might take me a couple days to get over.
Well, it's probably one of those deals that, you know, as you get older, your level of competitiveness, and you are extremely competitive, but you're breaking your spirit is a little easier now than, say, what it was when you were 19.
Oh, 18. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, it takes a toll on you. Next day, you're feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know,
and you've been known to get up at 6 in the morning after a heavy night of eating, try to run a mile or two, and, you know.
I've done it.
Try to.
You've seen that with your own eyes.
Justify the whole thing. So, hey, good luck Friday night against Fairland. Hopefully, be a good game. Looking forward to it. I think keys to the game. I don't want to ask you exactly what you're going to do.
Well, but I think, honestly, if you could give me two things – two wishes, it would be get back on defense,
score more points,
and take care of the ball. I think they're really good at turning you over and playing fast. I mean, they get out and they run, they score a lot in transition, and, you know, so anytime you play these guys, I think those have to be your first two goals. You have to try to prevent those fast break points by taking care of the ball and then hustling
back.
They
like to pressure. They like play a three-quarter court.
So that's what I'm saying. I think, you know, there's a whole lot of things you could worry about in this game. I mean, you're playing a team, you could list 10, 15 things you'd like to, in a perfect world, do. But I think what we're trying to do is simplify it a little bit for our guys, and those are the things, you know, we've got to do. And I don't think I'm disclosing any trade secrets here. I'm pretty sure everybody that plays Fairland probably thinks the same thing. You better take care of the ball and you better get back. But they do a really good job at what they do. And hopefully if we can do those things, we give ourselves a fighting chance.
Well, good luck to you. We'll see everybody from Vinton County and neighboring communities. Hopefully come out and support the Vikings at the Convo March 1st and the district semifinal Division 2 game against the Proctorville Fairland Dragons. Well, for Matt Coates, I'm Carl Knox. Thanks for answering my query.
All right, man.
Talk to you next time on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.